Hello and welcome back to another episode of the Girly Homesteader Podcast. On today's episode, I am talking about the 10 things that I wish I would have known before I started trying to grow all of our own food. So this list is going to be in no particular order. It's just 10 of the things that over these past two full seasons, like 2 full years of trying to grow our own food, then the beginning of this third year, these are the things that just stick out the most to me in my mind that I wish I would have known when I started. Some of them have to do with the actual act of gardening. Some of them have to do with all of the other stuff that goes into it. And these are some things that you might not have really thought about, but I think they matter. So anyway, stay tuned for these 10 things. Hopefully this helps you out, and maybe it also just validates some of the things that you're feeling. Hello and welcome to season 3 of the Girly Homesteader Podcast, the show that's definitely not your typical homesteading podcast. I'm your host, Laura, a girly homesteader living in Xenia, Ohio, with my husband, chickens, bees, and garden. On this weekly show, we'll cover the typical stuff, like gardening and chicken lady life, but we also go beyond the farm and talk about things like goal setting, makeup, planners, skincare, and staying in tune with nature's seasons. I've considered myself a homesteader for the past 3 years now, and in 2024, I'm hoping to hone the skills I've learned and continue to share those experiences with you. So, welcome to this girlier side of homesteading, where we can grow and flourish together. This episode of the podcast is brought to you by Beauty Counter, the non-toxic and EWG verified skincare, makeup, and fragrance brand that I've been using since 2020. My clean beauty journey began about 15 years ago, but until Beauty Counter, I struggled to find products that were worthy of repurchasing, that were effective, and also worked with my super sensitive rosacea skin. In 2020, I turned 30, and decided to buy my first grown-up skincare products. And since my first Beauty Counter moisturizer, I've been hooked on the brand, and now most of my products are from them because of how effective they are. Beauty Counter is the epitome of the phrase, a little bit goes a long way. The other amazing thing about Beauty Counter and why I became a consultant is that the brand advocates for safer products in both the US and Canadian governments, helping to create laws to protect everyone from harmful ingredients. By shopping with a consultant, you get the perk of working with someone who knows the products inside and out, so you can get customized recommendations and samples before you make your investment in full-size products. This helps you from wasting money on things that don't work for you, end up in a drawer, and you can finally feel the best you've ever felt in your skin. Click the link in the show notes to shop Beauty Counter or send me a message on Instagram to request samples specific to your skin type and product preferences. All right, so again, today we are talking about the 10 things that I wish I would have known before I started gardening and trying to grow all of our own food. So these are not in any particular order, so I'm just gonna start off. The first one to me is that processing your food takes a long time. I think that when we start out this journey of wanting to garden, wanting to grow our own food, all of that, what's in our minds mostly is the amount of effort that it's going to take to actually like do the gardening, like the actual planting and the actual weeding and mulching and watering and all of that stuff. But what I didn't think about was all the time that it takes once you get those veggies out of the garden and into your kitchen. So the harvesting takes a long time too, way more than I expected, but also the processing of it, greens specifically. This is something that I have talked about many times on the podcast, but you have to really figure out like the best way to make harvesting work for you. And it's going to take time because, you know, going to the grocery store and picking up a box of lettuce or some spring peas off the shelf is really easy. But somebody had to do all of that washing and that picking and that sorting and getting it into that container. And so, you know, you do however you want to do it at home, but just remember that that does take time. And that is a whole process. It's a whole thing that you're going to have to figure out on top of the scheduling. So that brings me to another point here. Number two, that your schedule and your like routine, your daily routine, it's going to change depending on the season. I know like right now when I am recording this, it is mid-April, but for some reason here in Ohio, we are like in the 80s. It's very, very warm. And that's great, kind of. I'm not ready for it. But what that means is that when I work in the garden, it has to be earlier. Now, obviously, it doesn't have to be earlier, but for my preferences, I don't want to be sweating out there midday and also getting sunburned. So what do? I have to change when I am doing things in the garden. And of course, some of these things are just purely out of comfort. But like today, I wanted to harvest spring greens. I knew that it was going to be hot. And so when you harvest things, pretty much anything really, specifically herbs and greens, you want to do that when it's coolest outside and when you are not in direct sunlight. So what does that mean? I have to get out to my garden and harvest that stuff before 8:30, 9 o'clock or so, or I'm going to be doing it in direct sunlight. So your schedule has to be in tune with your garden. And when I say your schedule, I mean like your kind of life schedule, you know, like recording this podcast. I knew this was something that I had to do during the winter time. I would do it during the morning while the outdoors was warming up. But now it's like the exact opposite because I want to do my outdoor chores during the morning when it's cooler and then my inside activities when it's the hottest. So you're going to have to think about the seasons a lot more and how it just changes the way you organize your to-do lists and just your daily schedule. So third thing is soil quality is so important. Now, this brings up two things. I know that when I started out, I thought that, oh, I was going to have the best soil. I wasn't going to use fertilizer, blah, blah, blah. Well, it takes a long time to build up your soil quality. And when you start out gardening, you're thinking like, all right, I just bought this perfect brand new soil. It should be awesome. Well, it isn't always. As you know, if you've listened to this podcast for a few years, you know that when I started out, my soil was not as good as I thought it was. It was absolute garbage. It was hard. It was compacted. It really didn't seem to have a lot of nutrients, and it wasn't the best. In that first year, though, I was blaming everything on myself. I eventually learned that it was my soil, but I had too much pride at that time to like depend on fertilizer to get me by while I was in that transition period of building up my soil. This was a big discovery that I made last year. And basically, it's just to let your pride go. Because when you are starting, your soil is probably going to suck. I don't care how much you spent on it. It's probably going to suck. And it's going to need to be amended. And it's going to need time. So during that period of building up your soil, you know what? Go ahead and use fertilizer. It is just fine. Do or use whatever type of fertilizer you feel comfortable with, whether it's just conventional stuff or it's more organic amendments, whatever. But do not be afraid to use fertilizer. Do not get caught up in all of the Instagram accounts and whatever in the YouTube videos that talk about how, you know, soil health is so important, because it is, but it takes time to get there. And if you keep beating yourself up in the beginning, you're going to give up. And you're not going to get any like output from your garden because, again, it takes time. The other thing that I discovered in this realm is that in reality, the amount of produce that we are trying to get out of our gardens in that relatively small amount of space, it's a lot. Nature doesn't normally work that way. Like, nature just doesn't have rows and rows of tomatoes planted, you know? The way it would be in nature is that there would be space in between. Things would be planted like intercropped, like there would be lots of crops together, and we wouldn't be demanding so much from our soil if we were setting up our gardens the way nature isn't, you know, it just the way nature is. Now, obviously, if you have a bigger garden, you have more freedom to play with things and give things more space and use, you know, more intercropping techniques and like, you know, companion planting. Of course, you have that freedom. But if you're dealing with a smaller garden, you got to do what you got to do to get that food out of that space. And so sometimes you might need fertilizer so that you can, you know, stock up your soil and get the kind of output that you want. So that third point there, it kind of has three things to it. That yes, soil quality is very important, but it takes time. Fertilizer is also not the end of the world. And if it's what you need to feel better about yourself and to continue gardening and want to like continue this hobby and continue this good thing for your family, use it. And then also our gardens, we always try to get more out of them than maybe what is intended. And so because of that, use fertilizer. It's okay. Just use the kind that you feel comfortable with. So there's three points there. Point number four is that you're going to have to kill plants. And this is something that I still struggle with to this day. Actually, just this morning when I was harvesting my salad greens in the cool morning, I noticed that some of my arugula is already starting to bolt. Now, thankfully, we don't mind super, super spicy arugula, but it reminded me of the fact that sometimes you have to chop down your plants so that you can make room for more. This is especially important, I think, when it comes to salad greens. And again, I still have this struggle. So like that arugula that is in my garden right now that is showing signs of bolting, I might have a couple more weeks, maybe just one left. But after that, once it is getting so annoying for me to deal with in the kitchen, and what I mean is like, you know, once it bolts, you have a lot more stems to deal with and it doesn't taste as good in your salad. You know, once you get to that point, stop forcing yourself to eat it, okay? Just cut it out, get rid of it, feed it to your chickens, put it in your compost, whatever, and start fresh. Get that bare soil in there. That way you can put another succession of arugula or whatever it is. And if you just think about it, like, especially in spring right now, when the sun and the weather is great for growing, if in a week from now, I decide my arugula is done, okay, I can cut it down, chop it down, feed it to the chickens, immediately plant new seeds. In 2 weeks, I will have baby arugula again. If I would have forced myself to just keep eating that arugula, then, you know, in 2 weeks from now, I'd have really terrible arugula. So sometimes you have to kill plants to make room for more. And yes, it's more seeds, and yes, it's a little bit more work, but the product, the outcome is most likely going to be a lot better. And that brings me to my next point. When in doubt, harvest. I dealt with this last fall because I was trying to get some fall cauliflower and broccoli. And it was at the point in the year where the sun was starting to die down and, you know, we didn't have as many hours of sunlight. And I kept thinking like, okay, these broccoli and cabbage, they're going to get bigger. The broccoli and cauliflower, they're going to get bigger. And then they never did. Well, my cauliflower started to bolt and my broccoli got eaten to shit by cabbage moths. And so in hindsight, I should have just harvested it. When it was tiny, it would have been tasty. Yeah, it might not have been a lot of food, but at least it was something. And generally, I think that most things in the garden, they always taste better when they are baby versions, like baby greens, baby spinach, baby pak choy. Cabbage sometimes is good when it's tiny and, you know, and like the cauliflower and the broccoli. So when in doubt, just harvest it, okay? When in doubt, just harvest it. So that's the first five things that I want to talk about. The first five things that I wish I would have learned or wish I would have known when I started this whole food growing, you know, phase of my life. But after the break, I'll get into the next five. This episode of the podcast is brought to you by Grubly Farms, the brand of chicken food and treats I use for my own flock. What's always been important to me is making sure my girls get a non-soy protein source, but Grubly Farms takes it one step further by using food waste to raise the black soldier fly larvae that they then turn into insect-based protein. This is way more natural for chickens than the fish-based food I used to use. Grubly Farms is also higher in calcium than other feeds because it is made of insects, and I've definitely noticed stronger eggshells because of it. My girls go crazy for the crumbled food, but you can shop all their products with a link in the show notes, and you can get 25% off your first order by using the code GIRLYHOMESTEADER at checkout. All right, so the last five things that I wish I would have known before starting to grow all of our own food. Number one is that watering is really annoying. And what I mean by that is that it takes a lot more time than you think. And when you first have the dreams of your garden, you probably imagine like this idyllic experience when it's, you know, 71 degrees, there's a slight breeze, it's not humid, it's sunny, but not too sunny, it's not like blaring down on you. And it's just beautiful. Well, yes, there are going to be days like that. But most of the time, it's going to be windy. It's going to be hot. It's going to be humid. There's going to be bugs. And it's not going to be the most enjoyable to be out in your garden. And after a long day of work or whatever it is that you're doing, watering is the last thing that you want to do. Now, on those days that it is beautiful out, sure, it's very relaxing to go out to your garden and water. But on those days when it's blazing hot or whatever, or super muggy or buggy, watering is just, it's gonna be the last thing that you wanna do. So my advice is that you should set up auto watering as soon as possible. I know that it is an expense depending on how you do it, but it is gonna make your life a lot easier. Now, unless you are someone who, you know, is retired or you are home all the time, you know, yeah, maybe you do have the freedom to water whenever you need to, but most of us don't. Most of us have a lot of things going on, and even if you are home all day, you probably have a big, busy day, and by the end of the day, you don't want to water. So watering is annoying. That is the sixth thing that I have to say about gardening. Seven is that sunlight is very important. And I know that that sounds obvious, but what I mean here is that mostly in the fall is when I discovered how important this is. I mentioned this earlier, those cabbages and cauliflowers from last year when I was hoping that they would get bigger and bigger. Well, they didn't, probably because I needed fertilizer, but also probably because we were going into fall, my garden just really wasn't getting as much sun as it used to. And because of that, they probably just didn't get as big. So the sunlight aspect of the garden is mostly the Persephone period. Everybody talks about first and last frost dates. Everybody talks about zones in their garden. But I really think that your Persephone period is the most important, and this has to do with sunlight. If you don't know, the Persephone period is the time that your latitude, you get less than 10 hours of sunlight. Now, obviously, most plants, they don't need a full 10 hours, but depending on where your garden is in your yard and also just the intensity level of the sun, it starts to dissipate. And once you get below that 10 hours of sunlight, generally plants, they just start to turn off and nothing happens. I know that based off my experiment at the beginning of this growing season, I started planting things at the end of our Persephone period. So when we again got 10 hours of sunlight, this was way ahead of our last frost date, because as of right now, we are still at risk of having a frost, and it is mid-April. So I started these seeds and these things mid-January. Yes, mid-January. That is a full 3.5 months before our last frost date. But in my opinion, this is the most important because I was able to get greens and pak choy to harvestable sizes way earlier, way, way earlier. And it's all based off that sunlight. So yes, things will grow slower at the very beginning of the season and at the end of your season. Okay. Just keep that in mind. Sunlight is very important. And then another thing too is that placement of your garden for sunlight. It's super critical. You might think that you have your garden placed in a spot that's wonderful, like you get lots of south sun, maybe east morning sun, but every year the landscape around your garden does change a little bit. Now, if you have your garden just placed in the very, very center of an open field, then yes, your landscape might not change. But if you have any trees near your garden, those are going to get bigger every year, and the shade level on your garden will change. So sunlight is very, very important. All right. Number eight. This one I think is just kind of funny. And this is direct sow based on your personality type. Direct sowing, I think, is one of the most annoying ways to plant things. When it comes to things that need to be spaced out well, like radishes, like carrots, like beets and turnips. Transplanting is awesome because you can have your mulch already in place on your garden. You can put in your little plant and let it go. Direct sowing, though, it's a little bit different because when you direct sow, you can't have mulch down. You have to have your bare soil exposed, which can bring about weeds depending on the time of year. And whether or not, like depending on what you're growing, like those root vegetables I mentioned, you have to be very particular about how you space them. So this brings up the personality types. If you are someone who hates the aspect or like the task of direct sowing, then you know what? You might just want to throw a bunch of seeds in there, see what pops up, and then thin out later. But if you are like me, who absolutely hates thinning things out, I think it's a pain in the ass, you might want to be more precise at planting. I know that in my notes from the first year of gardening, I have specifically written in my notes that, at least for my personality type, being more precise at planting is worth it in the end. Over these past years, I have now come all the way to discovering DIY seed tape. I talked about that a few weeks ago, maybe a month or so ago. But just finding a way to direct sow things based on your personality type is very important. So again, if you're someone who just wants to get it over with and do it and deal with it later, then go ahead, plant as many seeds as you want to. But if you are like me, or like most people, I think thinning is like the worst task ever. So if you're like that, just be very precise at the beginning and it will pay off in the end. One more thing to talk about, number nine, is that you need to take notes. You need to take notes. It doesn't have to be in any specific way. Of course, I'm always a fan of the garden planner that I designed, but if you don't take notes, you are going to be completely SOL for your next season. Yes, you can start off fresh every single time, but having notes to reference back to is very, very important. It's very helpful. Because just as I said, you know, I discovered in my first year that direct seeding and being very particular at the beginning is worth it for me in the end. But who knows? I might not have remembered that. I also wouldn't have known that I needed to start my peas and my tomatoes and my peppers a little bit later this year. I wouldn't have known that. Because we always think that we're going to remember all of these things. But then once you actually get to doing stuff, you're just excited and, you know, you just forget. Because like, again, based on those tomatoes and those peppers, if I wouldn't have written it down last year that I needed to start later, I would have been way too excited this year, started them really early, and then I would have been in the same position that I was last year, which is that my tomatoes and peppers were way too big to get out in the garden. I put them out there, but they went through a lot more transplant shock because they were so big. So take notes. Take as many notes as you can and keep them, you know, stowed away. It doesn't have to be like top of mind all the time. But come January, come February, when you are in 2025 planning out that garden, I know it's a long time from now and kind of weird to think about, but in 2025, in January, February, you're going to wish you had the notes that you are writing down right now. So that's number nine. And then number 10, which might be the most important thing that I wish I would have known, is that there's always the grocery store. This was something that I struggled with my first and second year, and probably will struggle again with this year. But it's thinking that, like, if I don't grow something, that I'm not allowed to eat it. I know that I had this trouble with cucumbers specifically last year. Our first year growing cucumbers was great. We had so many, we were swimming in them, and I was so excited. So my second year, I was like, oh, sure, it's going to be a piece of cake. No, it wasn't at all. And for the longest time, I was just like not allowing myself in a way to buy cucumbers because I should have been able to grow them. But it was infuriating me, and I love cucumbers. We both do, my husband and I, and we were sad to not have them. So I let myself, quote unquote, buy them from a farmer's market from somewhere local, and I was happy because I had cucumbers. So this is a reminder that you do not have to grow everything. You also do not have to grow everything that you preserve. This is something that I kind of learned last year in terms of green beans and also banana peppers. I had no luck with my pole beans last year, and I really had no luck with peppers. And so what did I do? I went to that same farm. I bought a bunch of peppers and I pickled them, like banana peppers, and I pickled them. And now I'm happy every single time I go down to my basement to get a can or a jar of pickled banana peppers. Yes, I do remember that they're not mine, but I am still happy that I have them in my pantry and that I took the time to do it, because they're always going to be better than what you can get at the store, okay? So there's always the store. You do not have to be your own grocery store or like your only grocery store. You are allowed to buy other things. Because like here in Ohio, it's not like I'm thinking that I'm going to be able to grow avocados. So, you know, if I have to go out every now and then and buy some dill or buy some basil, it's not the end of the world, okay? There is always the grocery store. So, those are the 10 things that I wish I would have known before starting this gardening season. If you have anything that you would like to add to this list, please comment on my post on Instagram or send me an email or send me a DM, whatever. But yeah, those are the things that I wish I would have known. And I hope that this episode was helpful. And I will talk to you next week when I'm going to be sharing my favorites from the month of April. Thanks for listening to the Girly Homesteader Podcast. If you liked this episode, please make sure to leave a rating and subscribe so you never miss a new episode. I'll talk to you next week, but until then, I hope you grow and flourish in all the ways that make you, you.